Leslie Gable-Brent is the Director of Education and Public Affairs for Lambda Legal, the oldest and largest national legal organization committed to achieving full recognition of civil rights for LGBT people. With Obama in the White House, we thought it would be a perfect time to discuss future civil rights for our LGBT community. Good afternoon, Leslie.
Good afternoon. Thanks for inviting me.
Last week, Lambda sent a letter to Obama urging him to seek potential nominees who are not only qualified and thoughtful jurists, but also represent the nation's diversity. Also to consider qualified LGBT judges for appointments. Could you talk about this, and have you received any feedback?
Sure. We're very excited to see the inauguration of President Obama and his team and have high hopes and expectations for many of the issues and promises that he made during the campaign for LGBT civil rights and equality, and of course for things that affect the civil rights of people with HIV as well. And so one of the things that we did as our first contact with the incoming administration is, as you said, to raise the issue of appointing federal judges that will be fair and impartial and make decisions that don't have any homophobic or transphobic or HIV-phobic bias in them, and that are careful to adhere to precedents in a number of cases that are really important to the jurisprudence affecting LGBT civil rights. Certainly the precedent in Lambda Legal's biggest and most important case before the U.S. Supreme Court, Lawrence v. Texas, which struck down all remaining state sodomy laws in 2003, and then precedents in other cases that have begun to establish the foundation on which LGBT civil rights are built. So I think it's important to note that the president has as many as 54 vacancies to fill right out of the gate. And of course, there's openings and turnover in the judicial bench all the time. So appointing fair judges that give both sides a fair hearing and rule without bias is just really important. And so that was one of the first things we wanted to communicate to the new president.
Have you received any feedback?
We have not received a reply yet, but we just sent it as he took office, and so we're very hopeful that we will hear back from his administration, and we will also be seeking a face-to-face meeting with officials in the White House and with the Department of Justice who are involved in the screening and vetting process for new judges.
President Obama has listed on the White House website his administration's commitment to LGBT civil rights. What do you think about this?
Well, first of all, we think it's great that an agenda for LGBT civil rights is up there on the White House website on the first day that the new president took office. And, you know, except for stopping short on marriage equality, which President Obama has not yet embraced, it's a really good list, and we hope that he can accomplish the things on the list. It's pretty much the same list that many of us in the rights community are excited about. We certainly want to see passage of a fully inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We are waiting for a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and of DOMA. We want to see passage of a hate crimes bill. We want to see better policies regarding HIV and HIV prevention. And all of those are on the list on the website, and that's a really hopeful sign. And now the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we have to do our job to keep asking and pushing and working at the local level as well as the federal level to make these things happen, and we hope to see leadership really coming from the White House. But I think it's important for us all to acknowledge that it's not all on President Obama to get these things to happen. Obviously, as I said, we want to see leadership, but, there's all those members of Congress, and so we have to do our job in the places where we live to keep speaking up on these issues and push them forward.
What do you think can be achieved in the next 4 years?
Well, I think that the list that we just discussed, although it sounds ambitious and I don't expect them all to happen in the first year, I do think that they can all happen in a four-year term. You know, certainly we got close before President Obama took office to passage of an inclusive ENDA, for example, and passage of a hate crimes law, and I think that's quite achievable. And then, you know, I think there's been quite a bit of discussion about repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I think that's very achievable. And let me tell you, you know, we also communicated with colleagues, not just on our own as Lambda Legal, but with other HIV advocacy organizations on some things that the new administration can do pretty quickly to improve policies for people with HIV. For example, we asked the new president to issue an executive order to ensure that all federal agencies are complying with the Federal Rehab Act and are not imposing medically unwarranted restrictions on employees and applicants living with HIV. That's something he can do by executive order, and it follows to some degree the court case we had against the old administration. It was a case called Taylor v. Rice, where the State Department was categorically excluding people with HIV from serving in the Foreign Service. And after several years of litigation, the State Department finally changed that policy. But we would like to see some progress that's clear and comes from the executive order for the whole federal government and all federal agencies. There's any number of things like that that we hope the new administration can do that don't require an act of Congress.
You know, on the website, it's support of full civil unions again with all federal rights for LGBT couples, but they, you know, still are dancing around the marriage equality issue. What are your thoughts on that?
If we had full civil unions and full federal rights for LGBT couples across the whole country, it would reduce the harm that same-sex couples are experiencing in most states around the country so greatly that we'd have to say that would be a huge step forward. On the other hand, Lambda Legal and many other groups, of course, are working very hard for marriage equality that isn't compromised, that isn't second-class status, that doesn't set same-sex couples apart in a separate structure called civil unions. It's really a kind of segregation under the law. And so, as I'm sure you know, we've always been opposed to advocating for civil unions as the final outcome, because marriage equality is really the goal that makes it clear that same-sex couples and LGBT people in general are not second-class citizens in our country. But at the same time, if we achieved some of these things, federal benefits and civil unions, you know, there are couples and people living in most of the states of this country who would benefit from that so greatly that we would have to consider that pretty important step forward for our lives and the way that you know, our families are protected.
If Obama reverses DOMA, mm-hmm. how will this play out in the states that have amended their constitutions already to prohibit gay marriage?
Well, you know, Congress would have to act in concert, of course, with the president to repeal DOMA. And then it would be an interesting question, because what DOMA really speaks to is the recognition from state to state of marriages that are legal, say, and now in Massachusetts and Connecticut, and soon again, we hope, in California, and also we're hoping for a positive decision in a case pending in Iowa that Lambda Legal has litigated. But anyway, the question is, if you're legally married in those jurisdictions, will you be treated and recognized as being legally married in other states? The repeal of DOMA does not automatically require any state to permit marriage to take place. That's still, for the foreseeable future, a state-to-state battle to change constitutions or change laws to permit. But I believe that there will be a very strong legal argument that states should recognize the legally valid marriages from other places, as they're doing now, by the way, in New York, where you still can't get legally married under the laws of New York, but if you're legally married from someplace else, New York will officially recognize your marriage.
You know, one of the things that, you know, like every single time that I interview someone, I'm always coming up with, you know, the language that we use about gay marriage. One of the things that I just find is that I would like to see the word sex come out of the term for gay marriage, because I really believe that it's something that is, I mean, when you went home to tell your parents you were gay, you didn't say I was same sex, you said I was gay. And I really don't think this is our word, and I think that this is one of the things that's standing in the way, because it's something that really brings up a lot of red flags with the heterosexual community, and that I see more that we should be using either same gender or marriage equality and just remove this word sex, you know, out of the same sex. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I agree with you that words are very important, and so
they sure are.
They sure are.
Yeah.
We have tried to reduce the use of the phrase gay marriage because it sounds like a new kind of marriage, like everybody has marriage except for gay people who have gay marriage, and it makes it sound like we've created a new institution. So we've been using the phrase marriage for same-sex couples in order to make it clear that it's marriage just like everybody else's marriage, and it's marriage for same-sex couples. Same-gender couples has a similar, slightly different meaning, just because there's all these nuances about how we use the word sex and gender in describing both biological sex and gender identity and expression. But I think then the easiest way to talk about it, of course, is to use the phrase that I like the best, which is marriage equality.
Yay!
because that's what we're fighting for.
Well, it is, you know.
And I think that's something that everybody understands. The phrase equality is pretty clear.
What cases is Lambda Legal working on right now?
Well, we have in the marriage equality field two pretty important and exciting cases that I briefly mentioned a few minutes ago. We argued before the Supreme Court in the state of Iowa for marriage equality, and we had a victory at the lower court level, the trial court level in Iowa, for the six same-sex couples that we represent there and their children, and had the oral arguments in early December. So sometime this year, we think that the Iowa Supreme Court will issue a ruling on that, although we don't have any exact date. And, of course, we have all our fingers and toes crossed that we'll have another victory for marriage equality in the state of Iowa. And so we're waiting on that. A more complicated legal situation is taking place in California.
Yeah.
I think most people are aware of it, which is after Lambda Legal and our sister organizations, NCLR, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and ACLU, and a number of other advocates won the marriage equality case back in May, and people started to get married in California. We, of course, lost the ballot measure vote on Election Day that, you know, everybody's familiar with, Proposition 8. So the very next day, again, I think most folks are familiar with the steps, Lambda Legal, again, with NCLR and ACLU and Equality California and other advocates, challenged the validity of Prop 8 because it was a process where a fundamental revision to the California Constitution that essentially wiped out the power and the meaning of the Equal Protection Clause and really took away the power of the courts, or the proper role of the courts, rather, to decide what the Constitution means and how it applies, that vote, we think, did not follow the proper process and is therefore the outcome is invalid. Because in order to make that significant a revision to the California Constitution itself has rules that say that such a revision has to be passed by two-thirds of both chambers of the California legislature and then go to the people. So that case is called Strauss v. Horton, and it's moving along on a very accelerated pace. We have submitted all our briefs for our side, and in fact, there were 43 friend of the court briefs submitted also on our side, which means all kinds of professional organizations and civil rights organizations and community groups and religious leaders and other government officials filed briefs in support of the position that Prop 8 was invalid. And so we're waiting for the arguments to be scheduled for the California Supreme Court in that case, which should come sometime in the next few months, and we'll see what happens. You know, 18,000 couples, rather, already got married in California, and we believe their marriages are still valid, and they're waiting for the Supreme Court to answer that question. And then thousands and thousands of more people are waiting anxiously to be legally married in California. So those are two very important, obviously, marriage cases on Lambda Legal's docket. But we have cases all over the country on all of our priority issues. Marriage recognition or marriage equality is only one of them. We have cases that are seeking to protect the custody and parenting rights of lesbian and gay parents. We have employment discrimination cases. We have cases that affect people with HIV and their rights to medical care or employment opportunities. We have cases that affect youth in school and youth in foster care or other out-of-home care settings. So we're busy, and we're working in many states across the country to protect LGBT and HIV civil rights.
Do you have a favorite quote or a mantra to get you through times like these?
Well, you know, that's interesting. And I'm sitting at my desk looking at the one I have up on my wall, and it's not particular to LGBT civil rights, but it is particular, I think, to our role as members of our community. It says, "It's if I am not for myself, who will be for me? But if I am only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when?" And to me, that's about we have to speak for ourselves and be strong in protecting our own rights and place in the community, but we have to be members of the community who care for others and work in a collective or communitarian way, and we have to do something every day and every week to make a difference and not wait for some future time. So I'm happy to share that as a mantra with you and the folks who will be listening to this interview.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie. This is great.
Well, thanks so much, and I appreciate talking with you.